Shall we pray? Gracious Lord, we thank you very much for another time in your presence. We are grateful unto you for the blessing you shower on us in the Sunday school. Thank you for the worship service, the hymns and the choruses that have been sung to praise your name. We are grateful to you. Lord Jesus, we are in great expectation, O Father. While we appreciate your blessings on Friday and that of this morning, Lord, we know that as the service progresses, you will do greater things for us, Lord. We pray, dear Father God, that you give unto us understanding and revelation of your word, that you might profit us and accomplish your purpose in our life. Let it be, eternal Father. We ask, O God, that your power will move in our midst to heal the sick, Lord, to set the captives free, to fill with your spirit, to draw the saints closer unto you. Let it be, eternal Father. And by extension, wherever the saints assembled like manner this morning, Lord, in this country and other nations of the world, may your presence be with your people. Help your servants, dear Father. Lord, anoint them specially as you leave your servant here in your hand, that you will stand for him and strengthen him and give him unction of your spirit to speak as your oracle. Let it be, eternal Father. Remember our pastor in the U.S., we ask you, be with him, be his strength and protection. And Lord, anoint him, O God, also as he will stand before a portion of your people today. Thank you, eternal Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. Those who are sick and afflicted in hospitals, we just ask that your angel of mercy will cross their path. Deliver them from the jaws of death, O God. Have your way in the life of your people. Thank you, eternal Father. When this service will come to an end, may we have recourse to give glory and honor to you. For in Jesus' mighty name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. God bless you. Can please be seated. Welcome ourselves to church in the name of Jesus Christ. We bring greetings from the pastor. Days are going closer. After today, he has one more Sunday to spend in the U.S. before he will return back according to the schedule. So let's keep in prayers for him that the Lord will be with him and see him through and bring him back safely when he will be coming. Amen. I think Brother Joel also has greetings from the pastor to the church. Yeah, the meetings that was announced before I started on Friday, and we enjoy ourselves for those who came. And if you are not around, the sermon is on the WhatsApp group. You can go click it there and help yourself. If you come late for the Sunday school, we have also taken a dose before you come back. And you can also help yourself later by clicking on the link and help yourself. Now, for this morning and the next service, the table is still spread. We are the saints of God. Will be fed. So we trust that the Lord will be with every one of us and give us a wonderful time in His presence. Our August visitor, the preacher, is Pastor Joshua Jia from Bida Church. And he's been with us. So he's going to be taking the service both this morning and afternoon. Shall we rise on our feet? Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by.
And touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not
is your mom. Shall we have a word of prayer as we bow our heads? Lord, we bow before you in humble adoration to your majesty. We realize how little we are and how great thou art. We thank you so much for the grace given unto us at this time
to fellowship together after some times. We thank you so much for sparing our lives all along. Thank you, Lord, for meeting our needs all these days and months and years. Thank you so much for this local assembly, the pastor, the associates, other ministers, the officers, brothers and sisters, and all the saints. So grateful, O God, for the privilege you have given unto me to be able to come around this time, Lord, to offload this body that have been almost a debt. But I'm so grateful, Lord, you have made it possible today. And we can say, like you said the other time in your word, that this day, this scripture is fulfilled. Lord Jehovah God, we thank you because of your blessings this morning in the Sunday school lesson, and oh God, in the song service, the testimonies, the blessings in different forms you have given unto each and every one. Jehovah God, we pray, let all the glory and honor be ascribed to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Bill, the pastor, Lord, wherever he may be this morning, and the Lord fall on him to speak to your children, as we are greatly under expectation, so he is. I pray that you be with him, O God. Strengthen him, O dear Father, and other servants of thine, wherever they may be this morning on the post of duty, may they be a channel of blessing, Lord. O Lord, borrow my members once more, O God, and make use of them. They are yours to serve the purpose of thine, O God. Let me say the only thing that you want me to say, Lord. Father, Lord Jesus, there be any way the devil tried to spy our liberty this morning, O God, I pray, may you, your infinite mercy, give us enough faith for your glory and your honor to subdue them underneath our feet in the name of Jesus Christ. If there be anyone sick here this morning, may they not leave here sick, O God. If there be somewhere here battling with one habit or the other, Lord, this is a message of deliverance. May they be delivered, O God. O God, give us a long-lasting experience that when these meetings shall be over, O God, we continue to testify of your glory and your presence. Let it be, dear Father, I'm just a mortal, O God, full of mistakes and failures. But Lord Jesus, I put my trust in thee. Lord, borrow my members, Lord. Make use of them for your glory, Lord. Borrow the members of your children. Make use of them, O God, that will be not just speakers or hearers alone, but we all be subjected to be doers of the work. Let it be so, dear Father. Thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus Christ's holy name, we ask and pray. Amen. God bless you. May be seated. It certainly is a great grand privilege to be in your midst this morning. It has been a very long time desire, year in, year out. I've always desired to fellowship with you, but it's just beyond my human ability. I've not been able to do that. And truly, I give thanks to God for making it possible this time through the pastor of this church, the associate, other associates, the officers, and every saint. If you'd not welcome me, for one reason or the other, there's no way I would have been here. So I'm not commonizing that at all or taking it for granted. And I trust that our being together will be a time of refreshment. I'm not here with anything strange. I'm not here with anything new. It's all that you have been had. You have better servants of God than me here. I'm not saying it to be humble. I'm saying it to be honest. But it's just the lot that fell on me to stand before you. I know pastor is not here, but he told me that the only thing you will miss is my physical presence that is going to play the tapes. I want to thank him for this opportunity whenever he plays the tape. And I also want to appreciate the wife. They have been so concerned. They thought maybe I have something against the church. What is the problem, Brother G? And truly, I don't have anything against the church. Truly, I don't have. If I do, I will tell you. I don't have. I don't know if I have, if you have against me. If you do, please forgive me. Hallelujah. But truly I love you.
and my friends. I have a lot of friends here, close friends, really good friends. Just that is how God has ordained it. I trust that if our Lord has not come, and the opportunity is given, and the Lord permits it, one of these days again, we'll have another time of fellowship. Amen and amen. What I have is, the note is long. I'm just going to leave some pages off. If it were to be at home, where I would be. A brother told me, I was telling the associate pastor, I said, one of the Sunday schools, I asked the people, I said, what are your observations concerning me? I've been taking Sunday school for over 20 years. What are your observations? One person raised and said, you are always too fast. I said, well, I'm so sorry. I didn't talk. And I'm enjoying myself. And you are suffocating. You don't enjoy. I will try to be slow. You know, we have different levels of assimilation. So I didn't really blame him. But I enjoy myself more when I'm fast. Because more things will be coming. But if I'm slow, I will be myself. So please bear with me. And I'm grateful. The pastor told me that it's recorded so that you can play it over and over again. If there be certain observations that you feel didn't really line up as your thoughts, I'm sure the pastors here will do a just course after I've gone. Just a little boy behind the altar, and I just want to contribute my little quota for the kingdom of God. I have no other desire than to post you closer to Christ. Nothing more than that. Hallelujah. Nothing more than that. I'm not important. There are better servants. There are better teachers. I'm sincere with you. Better teachers than myself. When they are teaching, I bow. Because I'll be a student. But I believe one way or the other, God will put something in me to make me a blessing to you. I will not fail to thank the family where I'm staying. They have been so kind to me. They don't want me to smell anything called hunger. Just doing everything they can to say that I'm welcome. And I don't think it can be better than that. And I want to show my appreciation to you all. And my family sent greetings. They left Betty yesterday to travel back home. They arrived yesterday safely. The church also sent greetings. Brethren have been calling. I said, greet the brethren, greet the church. So I'm greeting you on their behalf. They are fine too. We are pressing on. No matter what comes or goes, we keep pressing. That's what the Holy Ghost told the prophets. Say, keep pressing. Your journey will soon be over. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If there be anything that is left out, maybe in the evening I will say it. But I just want to thank every one of you for an opportunity like this. It's a burden. There have been a burden. And I didn't know, like I was saying, it's become a debt. People have called. Is there any problem? There's no problem. Why are we not seeing you? I remember I tried to recall back the last time I stood here. I just couldn't remember. But I know that I left here fully after my program 18 years ago. And I can't remember if I've been privileged to stand here. So many of you, your faces are new. Maybe that time some of you are young people. But now, growing hair, gray hair now, that is how life is. God bless you. Though I'm very young and I'm still very young. Hallelujah. Somebody was telling me yesterday, say you have not changed. I said, really? Glory be to God. Amen and amen. To the God be the glory for all that he has done. May God continue to strengthen you, continue to multiply you, give you all the good things you have a need of. Just open your heart to the Lord to receive from God and be in prayers that God will pass through me to be a blessing to you. You are the one that can pull it. You can pull me away from my notes. You have the power in you. Hallelujah. So you are the one. I'm just a mortar, and I believe by the grace of God I've yielded myself for him to use. So pull whatever you desire and it will be yours. Amen and amen. Our topic is long. Like I said, the major topic is the weapons of our warfare. And we'll talk about the strongholds last Friday. And today, we'll just continue on I'll jump some pages to see if I can just roll down, because I have another thought in the evening, which is almost in line with this, but not exactly the same thought. So wherever we stop, I will just leave this. We have fine teachers here that will do more justice to the topic. And when the inspiration come upon them, they will give you all that you have a need of. But I will just give you the tick of the highest bag. We trust that God will make it a blessing to each and every one of us. The weapons of our warfare. We'll read the scripture after this. It is not possible, I said last Friday, to fight spiritual battles with carnal weapons. It's not possible. It will be a failure. You can only fight spiritual battles with spiritual weapons only. Though physical battles can be fought and won by spiritual weapons. We say those things just give you a little summary of what we said last Friday. The physical, it takes spiritual to fight it. You can't use spiritual. You can't use physical to fight spiritual. It will not work. But spiritual can fight physical, and spiritual can fight spiritual, because it's a battle. The Jericho's war was a physical obstacle that was fought by a spiritual battle. It was spiritual weapon that was used. There's never any time that people will shout and then a road gate, a road city. It's not, many a times we think it's our walls that we build with 6 inches or 9 inches. Where they build a house on top. You know that's the truth. They build a house on top of the wall. It's not a small wall. You can prance your horses in rail, as a rail, like six of them running parallel line. So it's not just as we think that if you think of a war, you shout and the wall collapse. And maybe it's because they were shouting that made the wall to collapse. You do the shouting and tell me if the wall collapse. Because it will not. It was a spiritual thing. By obeying what God says. And once they obey what God said, it brought the results. And I always want to say this. There is never a time that a man or a woman, a group, a church, a nation will obey God's word and will not be blessed. So everything lives in obedience. Hallelujah. There was a letter that was written, a letter of reproach by Sennacherib, king of Assyria, to Hezekiah. In 2 Kings chapter 9, you can get it directly from verse 35. But spiritual battle, it was a spiritual battle that won the physical battle for them. They didn't have to take any weapon, and God destroyed them because they insulted God. Any man that gets to a level that is exhibiting pride, you can prophesy to him and say, falling is your portion. Because he will surely fall. Hallelujah. So it told them that they can't do anything. They are just a bunch of nonentities and all that. And the man humbled himself and said, no, it's true. What the man says is true. We can't. And the man gave instances of nations that they have fought and won. Greater. You know, Israel is a small nation. Amen. I don't think up to nine, they are up to 10 million. Just 9 point something million. Gaza, less than 1 million. And I was telling my wife, I said, they have been fighters from their great grandfathers. That is what they know how to do well. Fight. And that is what you should know how to do well. Fight. Good fight of faith. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No matter our level of anointing, we cannot cast out the devil with cruelty, with wickedness, or mistreatment. We cannot. It has to be by love. If you exhibit love, it will cast out devil. It will suppress devil. You will not say, Satan, get out! No, you will say, come out! You know, it's different. When you are afraid, you say, Satan, get out! So that I will not come to face you. But you will tell him, come out! He knows who is talking because you are not the one. Hallelujah. May God help us. Just to lay a little background and we'll go into the weapons of our warfare is not carnal, but strong and spiritual. It's strong and spiritual. Don't commonize the weapon that God has given to you. Once you underrate the power that God has given to you, you are already a failure. And what causes that is reasoning. Once you are applying reasoning power, you will be humiliated. Because it's not a weapon for our battle. We don't use this reasoning. We only accept what God says. We don't question it. We don't want to say, why should it be like that? What he said is final. Amen. We'll talk more on those in the evening.
We must be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might
to fight the fight of this life, the battle of this life. We must be strong. If you are not strong, you cannot be useful. That was what God told Joshua.
Hallelujah.
He said, be strong.
He told Joshua,
just be strong.
You got to be strong.
I'm not talking about the physical energy. If you have it, praise God for your physical work. But you can have physical energy without having spiritual energy, because they are not in the same dimension. So you must be strong to be able to fight this battle, and in the power of God, not your own power. If you claim that you have faith, then take action. Otherwise, it means fear and doubts had gripped you down. When you claim you have faith, put it into use. The Bible says, faith without works is what? Dead. So that is what we call exercising our faith. Claiming what belongs to you. The Bible said, if you throw the share, the thing did not bring the result. You say, put another one again. Throw it again. You put another one. If you didn't work, put it again. Don't say, oh, David did only once, and I did only once. If you do once, you didn't work, put another one, another one, another one. You are more than what? Conqueror. Shall we rise to read the scripture? Ephesians chapter 6, from verse 10 to verse 18. If you have not gotten yours, you can look up because of time.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that He may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Lord, we pray that you add your blessings to this portion of your word.
Bless you, God, my sister-in-law and the family that brought food yesterday, and the deacon also brought drinks, and many others, oh God, that have contributed one way or the other on their knees, even shaking my hands and saying, you are welcome, making me feel at home. I pray that your blessings be upon each and every one of us. Open the scripture to us. We have read it as mortals, but it takes you, the author of the word, to give us the meaning. Grant it unto us, dear Father. As I step aside, you step in. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. You may please be seated.
God told Joshua, we are talking about the weapons of our warfare, and we are going to take them one by one as the scripture enumerated them there. He said, be strong. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. When he jumped to verse 7 again, he said, he repeated the same thing again and said, be thou strong, very courageous. If you want to fight this battle, you must be strong, you must be courageous.
Hallelujah.
You cannot be a useful instrument in the hand of God until you are strong in the word of the Lord and the power of His might. Don't get me wrong that you have to get all the verses of the Bible or all the quotations of the prophet before you are strong. I said it on Friday. One inspired verse, not even a whole verse, a line from that verse.
By strife, I was healed.
It's not the whole verse,
but it's enough to do the work.
So what we need is inspiration, revelation, coming upon us to know that what God said is what He meant, and He cannot change His mind about the word that He has spoken. That's what faith is. You cannot until you are strong and you are courageous. If you don't allow God to fight for your battles, you will end up in ditch. So you got to allow God to do the fighting by yielding yourself to Him, believing on what He said, and hold your peace. The Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter 2, the last portion of verse 9, He said, you can never prevail by your strength. There's no way by my own strength I can prevail. I can never be a blessing to you by my own strength. I can only be a blessing to you by the strength of the Lord.
Praise God. Exodus 14:14. He said, the Lord shall fight your battle and you shall hold your peace. What does that mean? Free from anxiety, free from worry. You say a Christian can be free from worry. That is what Christianity is all about. Worry for what?
Even if they tell you that you are going to die tomorrow, don't be afraid.
There is nothing present, nothing future, nothing visible or invisible are capable to make a Christian to be afraid, to be worried.
Nothing is solidly built upon rest. I don't have time to give you testimonies. I've seen challenges. I've seen situations. Your pastor will have an idea of what I'm talking about.
And I will never... What has the power that Satan got over me? Until I give him the permission. As long as I don't give him the permission, the level I am, he can't get there.
Someone say, devil made me to do this and made me to do that. That shows he become a brother to you.
He has passed through justification, sanctification. You are operating at a higher level. He can't do you nothing. And nothing should make you to be afraid. Not even what doctor says, as honorable as they are.
Don't get scared.
Because fear is a weapon of Satan. It's not a weapon for believers. And once you are afraid, you will be a victim. Anything you are afraid of, you will fall for it. That was the problem of Job. Job was a perfect man. God testified of him. He was not a sinful man. He did nothing wrong. You know, sometimes when we face challenges in life, and he pronounced, the conclusion is that the man is a sinner. It's a normal thing. That was what happened in the time of Job. Sometimes it's very easy for us to quickly condemn his friends. But what did they do? When they saw the condition of Job, they went, they dropped waters, dropped their food, they went immediately into fasting. I don't know whether it's for 7 days. Nobody eat anything. But after they have done all they know how to do, and the condition of Job was getting worse,
they began to say, check your life.
But God said Job was a perfect man. It's not all the times that trials are allowed on our part of life and it's a result of a sin. It could be, but it's not all the time that it is. But God wants to promote you. And if when God wants to promote you, just like natural times the spiritual, then what will happen? You will be tested. You will be tried. If you are not, you are a bastard.
There is no son of God, no daughter of God that will not be tried.
If you want a smoker, be under expectation. It will surely come. And it's not a wickedness from God. It's a proof of his love.
Hallelujah.
So when you see your brother passing through you, so your sister passing through our way, don't open all your mouths.
Don't open it completely. No, if I have not married and I come now, I see children maybe run from here to this place.
Come on, children!
Tomorrow I will have a child. And children don't know anything. They will still do the same. If I'm driving on the highway and somebody misbehaves, I don't do that. Because I don't even know the meaning of this. It is the meaning you put to it that will give you pain. Somebody do like this. He say he abuse you.
Me, I don't know about it. It is the meaning you put to it that is frustrating your life. The man just expressed his fingers, and that is all. His 5 fingers. So if you put meaning to it, it will give you a headache. And I will not say you are idiot or you are stupid because you yourself can do the same.
There's anointing on the highway. That's anointing on the highway. If you are not driving, you will know. There is competition.
Somebody has been going on 90-100. As you just pass him,
he said, a lie.
He thinks it's not the motor I drive. I don't compete. On the highway, I don't compete.
Not at all.
I have a limit. And once I have reached my limit, even if your car is worse than my own,
I will do like this for you.
We will meet. You know the reason. One, I don't know how long that man has been driving. Two, cars can look alike, but they are not the same. Maybe your own is 4 plugs, and that one is 6. It looks small, and you want to compete. Many reasons. I don't compete. I'll just maintain my lane and maintain my speed. So in Christian life, I don't compete with anybody. I just want to be what God wants me to be. When I see good things, I ask God for more grace. But no competition. When you are living a life of competition, you are living a life of frustration.
You will frustrate yourself, and high blood pressure will not be long.
And paralysis is near to it.
They say it's devil, but you curse it.
You give chance.
How are you competing?
You are a peculiar person. I am a peculiar person.
can't be like you. You can't be like me.
That's why we don't speak like Abraham and say, see, like deeper life we do. Any preacher in deeper life speaks like Brother Kumuyi. Maybe they feel that is where the anointing comes from. We don't do that. We walk the way God has made us. Talk the way God has made us. He's the one that made me. I'm not the one that made myself. And I'm comfortable with the way he has made me. I will never desire to be a short man that he had made me taller. I will not.
I will not desire to be a fat man when I'm not fat.
I'm comfortable. So contentment is not only because of money. It's for everything.
The reason why you see girls, women outside, bleaching and do, they are not satisfied with the way God has made them. And once you are not satisfied, you want to remove yourself contrary to your maker.
Then you look funny.
We don't envy them.
We don't envy denomination.
We don't envy their big buildings. We don't envy their schools. Not at all. But Abraham said they are object to be pitied.
If they are privileged to know what we know, I think they'll be better. See the way they try to interpret scriptures. Sometimes I listen to them. See the way they struggle to interpret scriptures. I'll just be laughing and say, God, we thank you for sending to us a prophet.
They are trying to try to get the meaning of what is that, what the world is talking about. But sometimes they'll be far away from it because they don't have a prophet. The word of the Lord comes to a prophet, not teacher, not evangelist, not pastor, not apostle, but to a prophet. And not just a prophet, but a star messenger.
We'll talk more in the evening on that. Oh, help us.
The power is in every believer. When you realize that you are strong in the Lord, it means God put his spirit in your soul. And then you have what we call hidden power. That hidden power is what keeps you as a believer bubbling up through all the weathers.
Christianity is not a fair weather. Some people once it's rainy season. Let me tell you my own testimony. When I was a young believer and we close late and immediately we close, rain begin to pour. Don't spoil my mood.
My mood will just spoil.
Which kind of rain be this one? I was hearing somebody say, what kind of stupid rain is this one? As if it can make rain. But when I grew up, I discovered that rain was doing its own job and I'm doing my own job. So I don't get bored. You know, that's how Christianity is. As you are growing, the things that worry you before will not worry you again. Because you are going to be what? A perfect man in Christ.
Amen and amen.
Praise God. That's a hidden power. But Abraham said, man-made times can freeze up. Let me start from the beginning. Broken system of 65, 121.
And that is the way it is with a born-again experience.
You cannot contain it. It's a well of water within you.
Bubbling up into everlasting life. See? There's something about it that you have nothing to do with. The man-made times may freeze.
F-R-E-E-Z-E.
Come freeze. And then begging for revival and everything. But a man that is under that fountain, living in that fountain, it is day and night. It is not day or night. It is day and night. Bubbling.
You don't bubble because you have some change in the pockets. You know, some believers are like that. The only time they bubble and they say amen in the church, when you move closer to them, they have some change. But when they sit down moody, if you move closer to them, they don't have money in the pockets. It should not be the source of your joy. The Lord is your strength, not money.
Money can make you to be excited. But when we talk about joy flowing from your heart, hallelujah, it's more than what money can purchase.
When I would go to school, wear correct suits, and then no cowboy in my pocket. When I was the head of the department, and then my staff would come, Ogaja, in fact, this and that, da, da, da. No, when you know that story is starting, you know where it's ending. And then it now ended and say, if you can, you know, say, as you see me, there's no penny in my pocket.
You say, how manage? Would this your suit? It's not the suit. God has given me the suit. If there's no money, I will wear it. I will not dress well because I have extra money. No.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
So Abraham said, when you are under that fountain, living, which is God, God is a fountain of joy, is a fountain of life, is a fountain of everything that we have a need of, is in that fountain, you begin to bubble day and night. You don't have to wait on local rains, local revivals. You are full of it. I'll give unto him a fountain of life. In him, bubbling up. There's something in that. that is fresh every day, pure and clean. Is the unadulterated word of God in your heart and mouth, vindicating itself, speaking for itself. I don't care whether it's raining, whether it's snowing, what kind of weather it is, you are seeing it happen because the Holy Spirit is in there bubbling up. It is a hidden power.
Hallelujah. That's the secret within you. And that's what you should always desire. If there's anything you should never fail to pray for all the time, it's a revelation. You may pray over so many things and say, oh, I pray. But that one, keep on praying for it. That is where our strength is.
The Holy Ghost in your soul is the mightiest weapon against sin. What is sin? Unbelief. When you don't believe, then you manifest the attributes, lying and all that. But it's a sign of unbelief. Let me read this before we move on. 10 years ago, when I started out in the field, in the message, they say you can't do it. When you say you give your life to Christ, they say you can't do it. It's not possible. How will you do it? You are not the one that will do it. If you are here this morning and you are struggling, don't stop struggling. Just submit to God. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by the Spirit of God. What we need to do, if you have not repented, repent of your sin. Ask your pastors, be baptized by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are genuinely repentant, you don't need to wait for 10 years before you get the Holy Ghost, because this is not the season that we are tarrying for the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is already here. We are not tarrying.
When God takes a man, he takes his spirit. God's spirit is capital S. When Satan takes his man, he takes his spirit. He doesn't take it away. He will give it to people.
Since the day of Pentecost that the Holy Ghost came, we are no more tarrying for the Holy Ghost. Right now, if you have not been filled with the Holy Ghost, and you want to be filled, receive the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter, yes, speak.
And they receive the Holy Ghost.
That's why we are here, to impact life.
Hallelujah.
So you can't do it. But Abraham, science is against you. Doctors against you. Modernism is against you. I say Christ is for us. And when God is for us, who will be against us?
Nobody.
Hallelujah. That's why. Now, others have seen it. They've cut holes through everything. Till now, with all, there is big revival fires kindled on every hill in the world. Every nation under heaven nearly is having a healing revival going on. What is it? They are waiting to see that gallant display. Your neighbor is waiting to see with you. In your neighborhood, you are the church of Christ. Not a denominational church. You are the church of Christ. You are the unit of this local assembly also. Wherever you are representing Christ. And your life is a gospel.
Hallelujah. Just making a background. God be our help.
Your source, the source of our strength is God. Our Jehovah El Shaddai, the two-breasted Jehovah God. I'm not reading from there, brother. And then you have to keep on, when you are in India, you keep on drawing your strength.
It's not by yourself. Nobody can do it by himself. But Abraham was not the one doing it by himself.
He said it was Christ. Because Christ is for us. And Christ be for us, there's nobody that will be against us. Not that they will not be against us, but they will not conquer us. That's what the Paul said. He said, is it depth? Is it height? Is it famine? Is it poverty? Whatever. He said, nothing is able to conquer us because we are more than conquerors.
I don't care your challenge this morning. You are more than conqueror.
If you can only believe, victory is yours. Success is yours. Joy is yours. Peace is yours.
Amen and amen.
That's our source. Just pull it from the word of God. Keep pulling that strength from God. That's what he has promised us.
Hallelujah.
God's strength is sufficient unto us. Just keep drawing from it. Don't look for other sources. The world is looking for many other sources. They have rejected the fountain of living water. And they are into other things to get them, give them strength. It's not every prophecy, every man that
says it's a prophet that is a genuine prophet. Not everybody. Because many people have been confused until even anti-message believers, when they are pressed to the wall, they want to go and consult. They want to go and consult. Many I know gone for consultation and they came back disappointed. For the fact that a man prophesies and it comes to pass, he sees vision, it comes to pass, that does not mean he's a genuine prophet.
If his teachings are not according to the message of the hour, he's not better than Balaam.
And Baba said Balaam was a soothsayer,
even though they call him prophet.
So be careful. Don't tell me that there's no power in this message. Because there's no power in you.
The power that is in me, if no God will not permit it, I can create another world and live in it. And I can too.
But God will not permit it. Because he said, let the two be living. And that law is faith. And who releases faith is God. If not, what is the power? Power that created the universe. Hallelujah. That's what is in you.
God is in you. God is the creator of heaven and earth. You may say, oh, it's with a measure. But it's God. It's not half of God. It's not quarter of God. It's God in you.
To will and to do is the grace of God. Sufficient strength God has given us, and we should keep drawing from it. In the message, Watchman, Watch of the Night, paragraph 13, 58, 11, 30.
There is none of us that is immune from troubles.
You don't have the immunity from troubles.
And God is not the one bringing the troubles. But God permits those troubles.
If you try and you fail, I want to say something again. Don't give up. It's very common with believers to conclude easily. It's not the will of God. It's not the will of God. I tried. I failed. It's not the will of God.
If God had not spoken to you, don't speak for God. You can only be a witness of what you have seen or witnessed. So don't ever admit, because you try once or twice, and then you conclude by saying, it's not the will of God.
Some of us, we wrote WAEC more than once. I'm sure there are people like that here too. More than once. We didn't conclude and say, it's not the will of God. Some of us, we didn't get English. Some of us, we didn't get chemistry. We didn't sit down and say, it's not the will of God. We went back again. But when it comes to some other things, he said, it's not the will of God. Before Paul could say, he didn't just rise up and say, I prayed, God didn't want to remove this trouble. He said, the Lord told him that my grace is sufficient for you.
Leave it there, so that you will be able to have some time because of the level of your revelations, so that you will not begin to rush shoulders.
So if God have not told you, don't fold your hands and say, I've tried. Even God knows I have tried. God didn't know you have tried until you succeed.
We are not immune. We don't have the spiritual immunity from troubles. God has not promised to excuse us from all sickness. But it's written that his strength is what?
Sufficient.
And he will never put so much upon us, but what he gave us grace to bear. So we have that consolation to know.
Hallelujah. We have the consolation of that he will not put too much on us.
Whatever you are passing through is common to all men. Anything you are passing through, don't say because you are a believer. There are unbelievers that are also passing through them. Mention one thing that you are passing through that unbelievers are not passing through. But you don't know that you have a fountain that solves all your problems. But in the world there, they have no solution for their problems.
They don't have.
And that's why they are running helter-skelter, looking for solution where there is no solution. That's why they go from one revival to another revival. Oh my God, in my place, I don't know what is happening here. They are young men. They call themselves prophets. Some are apostles with bushy hair and with gamus.
Sorry if you are having one, I'm not trying to be, just I'm bringing a point.
And they will tell people, they will land upon the person, the pastor will begin to speak. Tell me what is the problem. Who is troubling you?
And they'll say, you will name one person. Any name as, okay.
Jezebel is the one that is troubling me.
Say, you will fall down and say, you are free. You are delivered.
Next month, when another man comes, he will do the same gymnastic. After the gymnastic, the man of God, so called, will say,
you are free. Go.
Year in, year out. The reason why our sisters, our brothers, don't move from one prayer room to another prayer room, from one revival to another revival, is because they have the stability of the world. What stabilizes our heart is the word of God that is speaking to us.
That's why we don't move from one river to another. Oh, I don't know what is the cause of my problem.
If you don't know, know today.
The cause of your problem is Satan.
So don't go and look for anybody to tell you.
The cause of your problem, your trouble is Satan.
And that's why they cause so many enmities. Because they tell you, is this man, is that woman, is that your uncle? Even if it's your uncle or your mother, it is the devil that is making her to do that. And that person, personality that is the devil is using, is not your enemy. Once you are able to get that spirit out of the person, he will be a good person.
Even if it's momentarily.
So don't take anybody as your enemy. We don't have any scripture that will give us that we can go quote and say, hate somebody. Nowhere.
He says, oh, God has perfect hatred.
Do you understand what that means?
Not what is that old time song? It said, loving everybody. Give me that old time religion.
To love everybody.
You may not associate with everybody, but you should love everybody.
It's not compulsory to associate with people that have something that is not right.
Brother Abraham said, some people, even though they are Christians, they even create atmosphere that you will not just like to be around them. Not because they are sinners. Association is a choice, but love is a must.
Must love everybody. Even if the person differs with you,
I don't argue to win.
Once anything turns to argument, I will tell you, you are a winner.
You are a winner. I will
withdraw. Because it's foolishness.
It's an exhibition of carnality.
And God is out of it.
I say, you are a winner. You don't win. I'll tumble for you.
But does that make you a winner?
It's just your foolishness.
When it's done out of you, you realize.
Always tell people the truth. Even when you are hated. When God opens your eyes, you will be respected.
But if you flatter people, tell them lies, and they like you, they clap on for you. By the time their eyes are open, you will be regarded as useless.
Hallelujah.
We are not immune from troubles, but it's common to men.
And he will never put so much on us.
He will put what his grace will be sufficient. He will put what your grace will be able to carry. He cannot. He knows our ability.
You may think the one that brother is carrying is too small. If you are the one, you will just not feel it.
But you are not the one that measures it.
The one that knows how to measure it is the one that knows our ability. And is the one that will allow it to be put on us.
To see how we can get ourselves closer to him. When trouble tries to draw you away from God, check your revelation. Trouble don't draw children of God away from God, but it draws them more closer. But I'm explaining it in so many ways.
Say a shepherd broke the leg of one sheep among other sheep, and then he carried it on his shoulder. Everybody asking, what happened? Say, I broke his legs.
You must be a cruel, wicked shepherd.
I said, no, I just needed his attention.
We as pastors, we have shepherd stick.
When we use it to break legs,
we should draw them closer.
You say you don't know, I won't tell you.
Your pastors know it.
They have that shepherd stick. They can break your leg.
You don't want to listen.
They advise you don't want to listen. Your idea is the best. You can never be advised.
From your pastor, I will just use that stick once.
Break it.
You are thinking of this leg?
Never.
We are talking of your strength. Let me not go further.
Alright.
That's the consolation, church.
Principalities and powers exist in high places.
It's not an illusion. Brother says some people say that there is no Satan, it's just an imagination.
He said, if you don't believe there is Satan, you don't believe there is God.
Hallelujah.
So it's not an illusion. There are principalities, there are powers. And don't ever think that they don't come to church.
As spiritual as we are now, how can Satan come here?
Don't joke with Satan. No.
Is it only this place he can come? Somebody that can go to heaven and lay accusation, he can't come here.
Go through what the prophet went through now.
Right in the church, as ministers, as pastors,
we want all our members to be in heaven so that we can be with them.
But it's painful to say, not all that name the name of the Lord.
There are many people that are just there, like Agberos.
May you not be Agbero.
May you be a real passenger.
Hallelujah.
Be a real passenger that is traveling.
Not Agbero.
It remains one person.
It remains one person.
One person come, he will jump out.
That one person until they get the last person.
That one person never finish.
But they are not traveling. They are not going anywhere.
So it's not an illusion. Get yourself fortified.
That's what we want to talk on now. In the next 1 hour. God be our help.
I was so happy we have enough time this morning.
We must put on the whole armor of God. So that we'll be able to pull down. Every stronghold of the devil, where the devil is getting advantage of you, is a stronghold of the devil. You have your own stronghold where you will be able to put his head down and put your legs on his head. But we traced last Friday that every believer has it, and you must watch it. Your own may be just to talk about people. The only gospel you have is about people. And all you have about people, they are bad news. You are not a gospeler of good news. It's a weakness.
When you just sit down and say, when things are happening in this nation, Satan. Could you imagine?
Then you say, tell me something.
But about to say, spirit congregates. Well, just call me. A certain minister visited a certain city. I'm in my own. Sit down my own. Just call me. Say, I understand, so brother. He's in our city. I say, oh, glory be to God. Do you know that he's in so group? And so I say, brother, thank God he's in your city. You go talk it over with him.
Will he tell me that rubbish tomorrow?
That's why I don't used to hear news of what is happening in Nigeria. Because I'm not interested to know certain brother for Yakata. In fact, the brother for Yakata. Our attitude towards the fallen brothers need to be checked. Should be checked. Somebody that is already falling, you help him to fall further, and you think you will not give account in the day of judgment. When somebody is falling, giving a helping hand to take him off from that hole. Don't push him further. Don't go and look for a pope to push him further.
Let your brother fall in fornication or adultery.
Your own don't, like they say, your own don't finish. The way believers will treat you, they're going to be merciful to us.
I will come here and say, nobody is immune from trouble. Nobody is immune from mistakes.
So when they happen, say, no, this one a devil.
Okay, he's a devil. Is your brother a devil?
That brother will be gone if he has not. Gone forever. And there are people that are doing it that nobody knows.
But they are good brothers. They are good sisters. In their schools, messing up.
You know, I'm in academics. I know what is happening.
Messing up.
Every set you have good ones, you have bad wagons. You come to church whenever one able. Sometimes when you sit there, you'll be ashamed to be identified. It's not that you don't want to do the right thing, but something has not taken place. The very thing that we are talking about has not taken place. We call ourselves brother, sister, because we come to, we do air style one way, and then we talk one way, and the same body is a believer.
No, sir!
Not everybody. Any good thing that happened in the church will not surprise me. Any bad thing that happened in the church will not surprise me either. So that you'll be free from heartbreak, heartache. It will not surprise you.
If you sense and wonder, praise God, it will happen. That's a promise. When you sit there, will begin to use somebody somehow. Don't get surprised. I am surprised.
Surprised of what?
Why surprised? Should not be surprised. That's why we are warriors. We keep fighting. This fight until Jesus comes.
We'll keep on fighting.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I've not offended anybody. Keep making footprints.
But Abraham said, footprint means possession. Keep breaking new grounds. Don't get one level. I am talking generally. And then you stop.
With the revelation I have now, I don't need to study again. Some people don't study. They are experts. Their brain is sharp. They can retain memory. That's fine. But that does not mean that you should not study. The more you study, the more you see God. The more you read the word of God, meditate upon the word of God, the more it becomes real to you.
Many things we have preached before. When we go back to our notes, more things are added. More things will be added. No matter how much I preach it now, if Jesus has not come and I go through it again, more things will be added. Because God is not limited. I am limited. You are limited. But God is not limited.
Let us be one another's keeper. You see somebody wrong. Jesus Christ said, a man will leave 99 sheep and go after one that is astray. But today, what will you do? Let him go. But as long as somebody is still breathing and is still thinking of God, there is still hope for that person.
Because everything about this journey is a finished work. Just keep walking. Keep pressing on. Hallelujah. Every time you make a step into the kingdom of God, that is yours. All things are yours. All things are possible to them that believe.
But it's a battle. There are Hittites, there are Perizzites, there are Gigasites.
All the eyes are there that will challenge your faith. Don't give up.
Hallelujah.
Never give up. It is the Holy Ghost in us that has equipped us for this battle. It is not we that are doing the fighting by ourselves.
Because man cannot do those things. I'm just reading this jointedly.
You can read worse.
In the message, take on the whole armor of God. Just a little portion. Okay, let me read the whole thing. Just a few lines. Listen, please.
Satan knows that reasoning and where reasoning lives.
Yes, sir. So if you are depending on reasoning, Satan knows where that one lives. But Bible says God take over the heart to be able to win the battle. Satan takes over our mind to be able to confuse you. So he knows where he lives.
To be an effectual witness of his resurrection, he knew it would take the Holy Ghost. Because man cannot do those things. He equipped his army with the Holy Ghost to do those things. To make known the secrets of the heart as he promised. You can't do that with any kind of training.
You know, today they have a school of prophets. They have school of prophets where they train people to be prophets. It's not today. It has been in the scriptures. But the genuine prophets don't go through that school to become a prophet. Because Abraham said, prophets are born.
Even when they are dead, they are still prophets. That's why we don't address Brother Abraham as late William and Abraham.
It's not late. You say, when you hear that I'm dead, sing only believe. Believer, Christians don't die. But one says, show me one scripture. Christians don't die. You just change from one dimension to another. And then change the robe of flesh you are wearing to another. They can see us, you may not see them. If sometimes you get so worried, God can use their body to appear to you and talk to you and encourage you. We have seen people that died many years. Their son will be in trouble. Their mother will appear and say, go and meet Brother Abraham. He's going to be in so junction. Because in that dimension, you are no ordinary man again. No limitation to your ability. But in this flesh, we are limited. And we got to be trained by the Holy Ghost. You got to do that by the battle of the Holy Spirit, the armor of God. And this is the evening light. Hallelujah. But we'll talk more on it in the evening. The importance of this message.
Brother, my dear sisters,
if you don't love this message with passion, you have not caught the vision of the message. You can't say anything, get it out of the message, and you are comfortable with it. No, sir. We'll talk on it this evening, and I'm sure you will enjoy it. Hallelujah. We have not even talking of the weapons yet. You know, the Holy Ghost is a uniform, isn't it? Everything you need is in the Holy Ghost. But it's not exactly just saying the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a uniform, and let's look at it in natural. When a military man puts on his uniform, does it mean that he is already equipped for the war?
Not exactly.
He can't just say, okay, now I'm wearing khaki. I'm going to face Boko Haram. For some of us that are in that area, I'm going to face Boko Haram. He won't come back.
He needs weapons. The uniform is good. It's a road into Nigeria army. And he has right to fire, to bullet heads off when the need arises. But he needs weapons to back up the uniform.
And that's where we are going now. Ephesians 6, where we read, describe how a Christian soldier is expected to scripturally dress to be able to fight the battle.
The Holy Ghost is our battle uniform, but there are weapons that go with the uniform.
You see, the attribute of the Holy Ghost is the primary thing to have.
If you are not enrolled in the army and you become a general,
you don't have right to fire anybody. But when you become general, I think you can fire up to 10 before or 9 or so before the law can say, why did you do this? So don't joke with soldiers. So if I'm driving on the highways, all the uniformed men on the road, I don't respect them much. But soldiers, when I see them, I match break. Even without any rank, because they can fire without permission. Police cannot. They were asking to give account of the bullets. But soldier, I wanted to be a soldier. And I will be a soldier. I had someone that was already ready to help me to go to short service after my youth service.
And when he saw me, he was happy that, yes, this thing will fit you. And I said, I will not tell my dad. I will just come home with the uniform.
But the thing was bothering me. How will you go for such a thing will not tell your dad? How will you go for such a thing? I was already a believer. I didn't want to be a preacher again. So I don't like preaching. God, just bless me. Give me money. I will support the gospel.
Preaching?
I just stopped. I didn't want anybody to know. Immediately I enter Bida, Pastor Amba, he has had, maybe got a link of it, my pastor. And he said, you want to see me? We talk. He said, what about calling? I said, if you want us to talk, don't talk about that one. Because I'm not interested. If you have something else, we can talk. But calling?
I don't want. What I have seen so far for these few years, I don't want. So, unfortunately for me, I told my dad, I have made arrangements. I will soon be a soldier. He said, sit down. I said, what happened? What did you say you want to become? I repeated. He said, you a preacher?
Do you think when they train you and they give you gun, you'll be killing antelope?
I said, I didn't think of that. He said, think of it.
You are not going to be given a bullet to kill antelope. You are to kill human being. You a preacher. Can you kill human being?
That's waking me. I said, I made a mistake.
I wouldn't have told my father.
With job where scarce like this? That time I would think the job was scarce. Now it's not even available.
It was very scarce that time.
Now it's not even available.
I'm not discouraging you from going to school.
The school will open your mind to many things that you can do to help your life.
But don't go to school because you are expecting federal government job. And let me tell you, if you get federal government job or state government job, it does not make you to be rich.
There was one woman, she's late now. She was a principal of my wife. Then I went, we were talking. She attends, I think, Apostolic Church. Not the Apostolic, the other one. Apostolic Faith.
I said, ma, don't depend on government work. She said, what do you mean?
I said, you will not die. You will not live.
He said, over my dead body.
I said, okay now.
You go see.
She became vice principal.
She approached me for a design.
I gave her a design.
I'm sorry to say,
she's not complete and she died.
For more than 10, 15 years.
When we are telling people that government work is just to enslave you, they think it's because you are working, that's why you are telling that.
If you don't think outside your box, you will die with your box.
Government work. I've been there for 28 years.
And I can tell you the story.
It's very enticing.
When I become chief lecturer, when I become professor.
There are professors that are begging for money.
I'm sorry to say.
And professor does not answer everything. But money answers all things.
Even if I have no education, and I have this thing, I can employ a professor. I will do sir
for me.
Sorry, sir. That is the truth. So let's know how to prioritize our lives.
Don't go to school. Government work. Which government work?
They are not existing again.
Oh my! I'm sorry. One time I was just when I finished my youth service, I was in the streets of Abuja and I don't have money to go to where I was going. And I was trekking from Area 10 Radio House to cross to the central part of the city.
It was in the noon time,
around 2 o'clock, and the children were coming from school, and they sighted me from afar, and they all kept their eyes on me. Something told me that
these children are pitying you.
And I was sweating. And my shoe was already chopping off. You know how African shoe used to be now. The thing was already chopping off. So when they saw me from afar like that, the door here, they all focused on me. They said something, but I didn't hear what they said. So when I got to them, they didn't talk. When I passed them, they all turned back to look at me. And they say, does he mean this man does not have money to enter buy, to enter car?
And something came out from my mouth.
I said, before you graduate, jobs no go deal, it's scarce now. And I checked to the place. The brother that I went to meet is late now. When he saw me sweating with my talking, the thing is soaked.
He said, wait, let them give me cold malt or cold drink first today.
Where it's not scarce, it's not available.
The little ones that are available, they are for the rich.
Even when they tell you to pay certain money, you will pay, they will still not give you the job.
And you can't go to anywhere. Because they say don't give, don't receive.
May God help us. Let's pick the uniform one by one. I mean, the weapons one by one.
The first one is loins, to be guided about with truth.
That's what the scripture says.
Let your loins be guided about with truth.
Your loins, your middle part of your strength,
the middle part of your strength is galvanized and made to work with the element, with the totality of what? The truth. Once you deviate away from the truth and live a life of lie, Satan has taken over. And you can never be a winner at that point.
Regardless of who you are,
you need to be in the truth all the time. But Abraham said, if Satan puts lie in your mouth,
correct it immediately and say, sorry, that's what I meant to say. If you don't correct it, let me tell you, the most contagious spirit is lying spirit. Very contagious. You can easily get contacted. If you are doing business, don't go and be telling lies. I'm sincere with you. This is the amount I bought it. My only interest, my only gain is 1 naira. There's no need of story. If you buy 10,000, are you able to sell it 10,000 plus, which is 20,000, you are a good businessman. That's what Jesus taught us.
You are a good businessman. The interest is too much. You are not a good businessman.
A good businessman will maximize what? Profits. The same thing Christian done.
Telling story.
And it's only 1,000. And you know it's not 1,000.
Who asked you to tell the story?
But Abraham said, I'd rather be with a drunkard with me any time than a liar. Because our bodies are not meant to lie.
Don't keep lying. Make it right immediately.
Because you will be disconnected for that moment. But Abraham was disconnected for that moment. And he said he was nervous. I can't stand this. And he jumped out. And he stayed outside. Tell him I'm not inside.
One man told me one time, I went to his office, maybe I've said it here sometime, I don't know, or somewhere. When I got to his office, I was the second in command in his exam office that time. And then the woman that was number one traveled, and it's not permitted for you as exam officer to travel when examination is going on, because your attention can be required anytime, except it's absolutely necessary with permission. And she went without permission. So when I got to the man's office, he said, you are not the one that's supposed to come and collect the material. You're supposed to be number one person. I say she traveled. So okay. I collected the materials. I left. I was condemned. I tried to cover up. It did not work. I turned back. The man saw me. You forgot something? I said, yes. What did you forget? I said, I told you that the woman traveled. She didn't travel. I lied to you. The man lied. He said, that is a white lie. I said, I don't believe it. Lie is dark.
It's not white. There's nothing like white lie.
Yeah, be careful.
You want to conquer Satan and you are embracing lies. Telling lies. You said a small lie. Satan has gotten over you and God is off of you at that moment.
If lie comes to your mouth, correct it. Say, I'd rather have a drunkard with me anytime than a liar. And Abraham meant it and he practiced it.
The bed that holds other things together is the truth. And Christ Jesus is the truth.
We'll get it more to our level another time.
He's the truth. And that's what we must always guard our loins with. The truth.
Maybe I'll read one of these quotes.
God deals with truth. And his word is the truth. If you have got truth, then stay with the truth. That's exactly right. But let it be the Bible truth first. Don't add to the truth or take away from the truth. The message that God gave to us is the truth. And that's what Abraham said, don't add to it, don't remove from it, otherwise revival will die down.
It will die down. You can still be screaming, but God is not in the screaming. Hallelujah.
Always be on the path of what?
The truth. It might not make you to be popular, but it make you to be honest. And God will be happy with that. Amen. God wants us to be in the truth all the time. I don't have time to read the code because time is just flying.
We must be honorable men and women with this truth.
We must be honorable with it. That's what the Torah says. Let me read that one. Why it had to be shepherd. 64, 12 and 1, paragraph 1. He said, but I feel that I have a message from God that in my way, that only way I have to present it. I am trying to present it to the world.
He has a word. He has a message that he has to present to the world. Trying to present it to the world. And if I didn't stay with that message, I will be a traitor to God and a hypocrite to you.
Oh, we should not deviate from the truth. Not just the truth of the opposite of lie. Of course, they are one and the same. But I want you to understand what I'm saying.
When we talk about the truth, we are talking about Christ. We are talking about the message of this day.
And we must never deviate from it. Don't look for any new thing. Don't look for any new idea. God does not give us those things. It must be what God has given that we should go with. He said, if I am not sincere with this truth, then I will be a traitor to God and a hypocrite to you.
A person that will say one thing and believe another is hypocrisy. We must always speak the truth from our hearts.
that when people look upon us, even though they disagree with us, we want to be honorable men and women, that we speak from our heart that which is true in our hearts. That's what we should do all the time. If it's something that you don't want to tell the people, you have the right to keep it to yourself instead of lying. There are things that I don't want to tell people. Not because there are testimonies that are prematurely given, and devil capitalizes on those things. You must know when to give the testimony. If you have not gotten the revelation of what you are saying, hold it to yourself, because you won't be able to stand what will come. Premature.
And Satan, brother, say, when I tell my brother, not because of my brother, but devil is going to hear it.
But as long as you are filled with the Holy Ghost, what you have in your heart, Satan cannot dig it out.
So if you know you can't tell somebody, keep it to yourself instead of lying to somebody.
To an unbeliever, lying is an achievement.
They celebrate it. They celebrate lie. I just wangle my way. Before you know it, I don't work out. But a believer will get worried. A believer will get disturbed.
Why do I do that? Why?
To pray. Even if you pray, even if you are shaking it from your head, it will not go.
And even if you think it's gone, what you have only done is that you have killed your conscience.
It's still there. Conscience can die. Conscience can be killed.
Conscience is ability to remember things. You kill it so that you will not remember. But God will remember.
The only time God will not remember and will never bring it up again is when you appropriately confess.
If it's to a brother, you don't go to God. These are little, I call them ABCs of the message. And they are very disturbing. Though they are ABCs. You don't go to God to make confession when you do something against your brother. You confess to the brother that you have wronged. Say, I told you this, I told you that. That is not what I'm supposed to tell you. And when the brother tells you that, you pray together about it, that spirit should not come upon your brother again, and never to come upon you yourself. It should be over. Don't go and tell another brother, another sister.
If you do, worse things will come upon you.
Love covereth multitude of sins. That's what it means. It's set to it. It's gone.
This message is so simple for the simple people, but many a times we make it more complex.
Even when the table is set, and you are a believer, and you are filled with the Holy Ghost, why we have to wait for the next one, that your life is not worthy,
and you cannot follow the provided way to be right? That you have to wait for another 1 month so that you will be qualified.
You are just pampering and petting sin. Or maybe you are ignorant.
What do you have to do? Make it right. Call the person out. This and this and this. Pray is forgotten, is gone. God is not remembering it anymore.
You are the one that is worrying yourself. It's not even in the mind of God again. Yeah, but it's just yesterday. It just doesn't matter how long or how early.
When you place it under the blood appropriately,
God does not even see it again.
But Abraham said, God wants to look at it through the blood, to look at your sin that is red. What will he see? Pure righteousness. Holiness.
God is not depending upon our righteousness. If you are still depending and counting your righteousness, it's worse than 50 rod. That's what the scripture says. You depend on him and him alone. When you are wrong, you make it right.
I keep going on.
You sing that song, if I fail, let me rise and try again. Just forgive me, Lord, and try me one more time.
Don't wait and say, I don't believe in it, that you are filled with the Holy Ghost. We just provide a way. Even when that person is not there or is no more alive, you can still keep it under the blood.
That you have to wait till next service when they will have another Lord's Supper. Then you will be qualified. You are pampering sin. You are joking with devil.
You don't know that Satan, we read the other day, that Satan hates you.
You think he loves you?
No, sir. He doesn't. He hates you. Hallelujah. So we must be honorable men to stay with the truth.
He said, we must always speak the truth from our hearts. That when people look upon us, even though they disagree with us, we want to be honorable men and women. That we speak from our hearts. That which is true from our hearts. That's what we should be doing all the time. Don't lie.
Lie can cause sicknesses. Different type of sicknesses, the prophet says.
Can cause ulcer. Can cause anything.
God don't want us to lie.
That's why lie detector, when he plays on a liar, it will show positive.
That you lie.
It will show.
So God don't want us to lie.
Because once you lie, you become defenseless. You become vulnerable to the principalities and powers. That's what Apostle said. He's waiting for our unguided hour.
That's nothing. How long was that? Was his Lilisander? What's her name? Dance. How many demons? Right there, she got demons. Number two, the breastplate of righteousness. We must have it. Breastplate.
None of these weapons can be made effective until we've been dressed by the Holy Spirit of God. You are not a soldier until you are enrolled. And when you are enrolled and trained, you come out with a uniform proportionally to your position, your status.
That is how God is doing. Every natural thing
give us the understanding of the spiritual thing.
That was what Jesus rebuked Nicodemus. Are you a teacher in Israel and don't know that natural thing type the spiritual?
Hallelujah. Praise God. Ayesha plate, metal plate, one as defensive armor for the breast or chest. That's what we call breastplate that will protect your heart. You need it. We must be well dressed to face the battle like soldiers going to physical battles. That's why the scripture gave us all these things to be dressed with.
Hallelujah.
You got to put on, in the message, law of grace. I tell you, it ought to make every Christian buckle up the armor. Over there he said, put on the whole armor of God and be sure to bring the breastplate. The helmet, the shield, and all those things. We're lacking them for physical battle. We're going to understand it as gone. Hallelujah. The message, greatest battle ever fought. He said, do what is right. Got the word of God in you. Do what is right. The breastplate of righteousness. You got to get enough food inside of you, which is the word, to safeguard you.
Where do you keep the food?
It's in your heart. And you safeguard it. From the penetration of the invaders. Hallelujah. How does it come? It comes by reason. When you open up the channel, he enters in. He gets to the gate to the soul. You open it, he enters. Before you know it, you are confused. Don't open it. Let the word of God dwell in you so richly.
That's what the scripture says.
There's something about the position of our heart, where our heart, our breastplate, where our heart is located. There's something about the position of our breast, where our heart is located. The true word of God is expected to be kept in our heart to be used in the battle.
But Abraham said, you can hold verses upon verse upon verse upon verse.
If it is not from the heart, it will do no work. That's why in the Old Testament, every truth is verified when there's going to be a flash on the Urim and Thummim on Aaron's breast, which is his breastplate. So there's something about it. It's just not a breastplate, but a breastplate of what? Righteousness.
That's what the scripture says.
Breastplate of what? Righteousness. A man that is in Christ becomes the very righteousness of Christ.
2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. If you can get it, we'll read it quickly before we move on.
Alright, thank you. For he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Hallelujah. Just briefly,
this is what it means. Man plus sin is equals what? Sinner. Man plus Christ is equals what? Righteousness. It's not because you don't lie. It's not because you don't sin that makes you to be righteous. What makes you to be righteous is the presence of the righteous God in your soul. Otherwise, you are still a sinner. You might be a good boy like Esau.
Hallelujah.
Until Christ takes your place, takes you away, gaining you are not righteous. You are only religious.
So the word of God must richly dwell in our hearts.
Constantly.
Abraham said, was it Martin that the devil was coming to tempt, and he was meditating, waiting for the hour to go and preach, as we do as ministers, so that we'll not come here and be confused. We'll pray, something cross our mind, we'll check it up again, so that you are saying the right thing, and all like that. In fact, you will keep on checking until the time comes. Even when they are saying, you will feel like going to toilet, I'm sorry. So some of you will know what I'm talking about, because you just want to be right.
When you get to a point that you are used to the puppet, your message will no more be effective.
Because you are depending on the ability of your own self.
Even if it's my own church, I get scared.
I'll be never seen.
What will I say to these people?
The worst one is when I finish.
God, if I say it right, God, please, if I didn't say it right, don't let them remember it.
Yes,
I don't want.
Rabbi said, the Bible said, we will give accounts. Brabham said, since the day a brother told him that you will not know that you are going to give account of what you say,
he said, I'll be very careful.
Pulpit is not a place that is free. It's a place of confrontation. Devil can put words in your mouth.
The word must richly dwell in your heart.
Your breastplate of righteousness.
Hallelujah. Let me read this quote and then we'll move on to the next one. Time is flying.
Jesus Christ took my place, alright,
and that's what we have just talked about. Righteousness in his word. Let me read that one. It becometh of us to fulfill all righteousness. Paragraph 161.
What difference does it make whether you got a nickel or a dime? Whether we got something to eat or whether we haven't? Whether we are living or dying? God promised the meek shall inherit the earth. He beholds us. It's becoming to us that we live like it and act it. Full of righteousness. God wants men and women who will stand and fulfill all righteousness. Of course, righteousness is his word.
So that's why I said, let the word of God richly dwell in you.
Constantly meditating, constantly studying,
and get to a time that you feel that I'm an old timer.
An old timer,
and that's why you should not study. As you are growing, you will be forgetting the past.
That's why you should continue to read, continue to study.
Paul said it to Timothy.
Search the scripture. Jesus Christ also said it.
There you think you have what?
Eternal life.
Search.
It's not only preachers that are supposed to be searching. Search.
We have the message everywhere. It's in the air.
Everywhere.
So you don't lack anything.
Pastor, you know what I'm going to say now.
When we came up, there are some quotes you will look for the whole night. You won't see.
The whole night.
We'll search, you will not see it. My pastor has, we call it a
concordance.
You think it was my friend. It became my buddy.
I collected the two of them.
We'll search.
You know, message has different volumes. One title, but different dates.
Once the date is messed up, you will get the book, you won't get the quotes.
And you don't want to. No matter how much you have the inspiration, if you want the people to have confidence in what you are saying,
show them the word.
We can preach under anointing without even checking anything.
But it does not have enough ingredients.
Like when I read it out and you are seeing it yourself.
Now it's everywhere.
But we do more Facebooking. We do more WhatsApping than even searching the message.
Until our hands are so used to phone that when we wake up in the morning, the first thing to check is Facebook. What's happening?
Devil is so wise, though.
Devil is not saying no on television. He give you something that is worse on television.
You see Satan.
It's Satan's achievement.
If you don't know how to use it, the same way the person that is using television is in trouble, so you will be in trouble because you will become addicted.
At least, fast for one day. Don't touch your phone. Don't WhatsApp.
Don't own your data. Except you are using it for business. Fast!
Be eating your food and you'll be drinking your water.
Fast.
Don't leave your phone.
Don't get addicted.
Because it's very easy to get addicted to phone.
When your data finishes and you don't have one, you are like if somebody died for you.
Wait here and not get data.
Data make you angry with everybody.
You are so angry even with the plates in the kitchen.
Why?
You not get data.
So if you not get data, you not leave.
Rabbi, I say whether we have dime, whether we have nickel, whether we have food to eat, we have nothing to eat.
That's why I'm saying these things. What does it mean to us?
But it means so much to many of us that we become temporarily sick.
When there's no data in our phone.
Sick, hungry, visibly hungry.
Because no data.
We will borrow. We get plenty SIM. We'll borrow another one again.
But you can't borrow to come to church.
Shame on you.
It's not until you have before you come to church. You can borrow and come to church.
There is not a crime to borrow. But when you borrow, use it for God, for good business.
Good business.
Everything about life is risk.
I don't want to take risk.
You're already taking risk.
Righteousness is his word. So let his word dwell richly in you.
And the prophet said, the beginning of righteousness is God revealed truth.
And that's where the entire church is built upon the revealed truth.
Sometimes I feel I should pray more with quotations of the message, even more than of the Bible.
You may not understand me. I will explain later, maybe in the evening.
This message is our message. Any other righteousness you will display outside of Malachi 4 is nonsense. It's nonsense.
God has nothing to do with it.
The righteousness of the bride is the righteousness of Christ. It's not our own righteousness. It's not what we put together. Rabbi says it's very good and easy to live with documented religion, but it's dangerous to die with. Very easy.
So what? Our righteousness is not our righteousness.
In the seventh church, they say, our righteousness is his righteousness. Our attributes are his own glorious attributes. This is identity, is our identity. We are not showing forth nothing else but Christ.
Let the word dwell in you richly.
Where will it dwell?
In your heart.
Number three, your feet showed with preparation of the gospel of Christ.
If you are reading it, it's the third one.
Be prepared to preach the gospel of peace, not of strife, to others, both by our lives and the words. Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 15 to 18. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 18. He said, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bones, but the order of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice. Yeah, we rejoice.
Hallelujah.
Preaching the gospel is not only for ministers. All believers are preachers. We are all preachers. And whenever you are talking about the goodness of God, talking about the message of your day, you are under the protection of God as long as your motive and objective is right.
You're under the protection. I'm on the post of duty now.
I am fearless. Why? Because I know the hosts of heaven are with me here. This is a place that is the closest to heaven.
So whenever you preach the gospel to people,
you are a sister, you say, well, God never called me to be a preacher. The life you live should be a preaching. To preach to your neighbors. They will come one day. You are younger, but other people will come to you and ask for counsel.
Somebody was, there was a certain problem I was trying to solve for a family. How did they do that?
Because what I do is that what God has been helping me to do is, when I come here, I scatter everything.
All my fear, or every fear, scatter it.
So that you don't even come to me that my husband do this, and then I will listen to you.
No, sir.
I will never, no matter how close you are to me, I will not listen to you. I will ask you, have you discussed with him? You have not tried to settle with your husband. You are running to pastor. And pastor say, what did you say? Bro, we want to see you.
No, sir. I have other things to do. I don't waste my time for those things.
You have not settled with your husband? Did you have a discussion? No. Go back.
Or do you think when it comes to the word of God, when it comes to family affairs, the word of God should be neglected?
No, sir.
Tell your brother if he has offended you.
That is the word. I've seen churches where they will even set up a council meeting.
Yeah.
I don't know. How will you be working for Satan? Thinking you are working for God.
I'm not saying it's happening here. You just come and I'm saying it.
So what I do is scatter it everywhere. So you can't just come to me until you have done your part.
Maybe that's why people say I'm looking young. Oh, you carry plenty, we no consign you. You go hold unnecessarily now.
Go back and settle.
Yes, my brother.
He did me like this.
Let me tell you, in my experience of this many years,
for these few years, my understanding about human beings, even if they are not lying to you, they are only telling you their own good parts. The greatest mistake you will make is to carry the cane and start beating the other person without having a hearing from him.
So the sister was saying, our neighbor gave her something. The husband was not happy.
What was that something? It was some clips, some video clips on how to live with your husband. In this message,
I said, who are the author of that seven clips?
He said, they are all these Pentecostals. I said, shame on you. Shame on you.
She was angry that I don't favor her. I said, I won't favor you. I will favor the word.
When you come to settle matter, I know they get friends. Don't have friends. Even if you have been the one helping me financially, if you are wrong, I will tell you you are wrong.
When we finish, we embrace ourselves. Hey, but God bless you.
How can you go and receive such a thing? What you are telling me is that your life has not been worthy of this gospel.
Come, believer, come and give you some clips. How to live between husband and wife. When Brother Abraham told us that God has given us what?
Remedy for now to marry our wives and now to live with them.
Remedy means cure. Trouble is already there. Make I leave that one.
How I will take my time.
And the time is flying.
Your feet must be shod with what?
Preparation of the gospel of peace. Not contention.
One of the weapons of our warfare is our readiness to testify of the gospel of Jesus Christ to others.
1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18 said, to the saved, preaching of the gospel is power.
Hallelujah.
The gospel of Jesus Christ is power.
What do you use power for?
Power can be used interchangeably with strength.
What is he giving for?
To fight.
As we are preaching, you think it's not a fight?
It's a fight.
Demons are being chased out. People are being set free. This message is a message of deliverance.
Oh, because you don't lay hand and you fall down. You can fall down yet you are not delivered.
What delivers you is the word quickened to you. If you lay hand on you and you are delivered and the word is not quickened to you, you are still not delivered permanently.
It's just temporarily. Devil will come back again to spy your liberty and employ other seven demons. And your present that time, your estate will be worse than the first.
Your life should be a puppet.
If you are not called to be a preacher behind the sacred desk, let your life be your puppet.
We won't have time to read all these things, but they are familiar quotes. Will not be better than idolaters if we stay idle
without testifying of the word of God to others.
That's what the prophet says.
Will not be better than idols, idol worshippers, idolaters.
When you are idle.
Okay, let me read it so that you will hear it.
Corinthians, book of correction.
Oh, you say, I thank God that I'm not an idolater.
Brother, say, wait a minute,
so that you understand.
Let's examine it by the word. Say, I wouldn't worship an idol. That doesn't altogether mean you worship an idol. You just have to be idle.
When you are idle,
you don't testify to people.
Even when they say nonsense before you, you will just support them with your attitude.
And anything you have pleasure in him, you are not better than that person.
Somebody is saying something that is wrong.
You have opportunity to worship God and you will keep mute.
What did the prophet say?
He said, take him by the hand, or take her by the hand, and say, brother, sister, there's a better life to live than this. He said, when you are doing that, you are worshipping the Lord.
But many mouths are superglued. Even when they speak against their message, they are superglued.
You cannot with love project to that person and say, no, don't do that.
Just have to be idle, doing nothing.
Go to church, yeah, that's all right. Go back home, doing nothing about it, brother.
A reborn again man or woman can't stand still.
There's something in them. You've got to testify. You've got to do something.
Do something for God to honor.
How many years have you believed?
How many years have you been filled with the Holy Ghost?
How many souls have you been saved? Be able to save?
You say, I'm not a savior.
You don't know who you are.
You don't know who you are.
That's why you say you're not a savior.
Hallelujah.
How many souls have you saved
since you become a believer?
Your life has even influenced your own siblings
that are born in the same family with you,
your life.
When your wife, your husband will talk one, you will talk ten.
You think they are not watching you.
If you want to know what a wife is supposed to be to the husband,
look at what Christ is to the church.
If you are a type of woman that have power of argument,
you are very argumentative against your husband, and you say you are submissive,
you are not.
There should be a better way of saying it. Not to be, to throw out something for argument because you know you have power in your brain to be able to suppress your man.
That's wrong.
You talk one, you talk ten.
And say so you are a Christian, you are filled with the Holy Ghost.
Which Holy Ghost is that?
You're only filled with a ghost. No holy.
If you don't respect your husband, you know nowadays, they feel that when you tell women to respect their husband and be submissive, that what you are doing, you are making them to be slaves.
This is not something I heard from unbelievers or
message believers.
Do you say we should be slaves? You should be servants.
Are we not servants of Jesus Christ?
What does servant do?
By what?
By instruction from the master.
Very simple.
But you will not. And then you say you are a Christian.
You are just hindering your prayer. Because Abraham said you are not.
The last word of the gospel, he said, don't tell me because you are not.
And a man that will not love his wife is not a Christian too.
You got to love her.
Not because she's no more.
Let me tell you, no matter how beautiful your wife is, there's another woman that is beautiful than her.
We are married, man.
That'd be true.
Rabban say your wife may not be as beautiful as Goa Jones' own,
but there's something in her that you like, and that's why you marry her.
And that love should be a continuous love.
Once you see it dying, go to the altar, pray.
Can we pray that for that?
Is there anything that we don't pray for? Is there anything that is too small or is too big?
Go back and pray.
God, I'm sorry, I don't love my wife. Why?
Because the way I talk to her, I talk to her without respect.
Well, you get to a point because you say you are head and you talk anyhow to your wife.
Let me give you admonition.
You see the head, you see the body, major organs are in the body.
If you don't treat the body very well and you eat junks and throw nonsense on your wife,
you will kill all the major organs in your body.
Because
Jesus Christ, what did he say? Government shall be upon our...
Let's leave that one. That will be for another time.
So if you want to have a peaceful life, a healthy life, treat your wives well.
There is nothing that can break a man's heart like woman.
Our sisters, I love you all.
But that is the truth.
Their mouth now razor blade, and it will penetrate your heart direct.
And they will wait until night, when everything is silent.
So love your wives. So that the major organs will be healthy.
It's for your own good. A man that hates his own wife, hates his own self.
So love your wife, so.
If you know that the love is dying down, pray.
God, I don't want this auntie, no. I don't want this auntie.
You see that you are no more submissive as you used to be. Go to the Lord and pray.
Because you will never be seen by God as a Christian.
How many family members have you won to Christ?
How many?
So always testify of this truth.
If you are a sister, tell somebody that, oh, there is a life that you can live better than this.
You say, I've tried other churches. I don't know what to do.
You say, God sent us a message. If you will not mind, I will take you to one of our ministers. He will explain to you.
Don't take the responsibility of a man.
Ah, men are not doing it. I will do it.
No, don't do it.
Go out. If you must go out, you must go out with a man. According to Bible principles.
Met a woman, he said, God said,
you should not be a preacher.
He said, God heard me by the jugular and said I must preach.
He said, God heard you, contrary to his word?
No, man.
Maybe you didn't get it right.
What God said is what he meant.
It's not lacking men that can do the job.
But it's not only men. You can be on your knees and pray.
There is no body that is filled with the Holy Ghost that is not being engaged in doing something for the kingdom.
If you have not known what you are expected to do, check your new birth.
Because the Holy Ghost puts you into what?
Service.
Man, just give me a few minutes, please.
Maybe I'll just mention them.
The shield of faith is another weapon.
We need to be well trained by the Holy Ghost to fight the fight of this of faith.
Our hearts must be filled with faith.
We need faith to be able to fight the devil.
But Abraham said, when I become a Christian, I become a Christian to fight. Fight the good fight of faith. I become a Christian to get in the battle line. We are Christian soldiers and we got to be trained.
Hallelujah.
Baba says faith is a conqueror.
Once you are defeated,
it's not faith.
Because faith, nothing can defeat faith.
Nothing.
Faith is a revelation.
When God gives you revelation, God tell you he's going to do this, then God will turn around and fail.
No, sir.
Maybe you didn't hear him well.
Faith can never fail.
That poet said, Rabban was one that composed that stanza. He said, faith was never forgotten by the Father above.
It's a constant punching from the devil on us till we leave the earth.
But we got to have faith.
When we talk about shields,
shields of faith.
Shield means a large piece of metal used by soldiers to defend or protect themselves during war against blows or missiles.
Like in advanced battles,
if you listen to Israel and Gaza,
Israel has what they call iron bow, iron dome.
It's a repeller. It's a shield.
You have it. And that is what?
Your faith.
It's a repeller.
Fire darts.
It means sharp pointed objects thrown with fire in a war or battle.
So to point all the fiery darts of the wicked, we need more faith to fight the devil.
We need faith.
That's what we need.
The shield of faith creates a great safety zone where devil's darts
can't harm us. You speak by faith. You exercise your faith. You speak it out. I am healed. Not that I'll be healed already. You say, oh, I'm poor. Say, I'm rich. I'm not poor. I can never beg for money. I cannot be a beggar. I will not always be borrowing. I will lend to many nations.
Even though you are still owing debts.
Yes.
I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd.
Even though when you close, you will go to your neighbor and say, can you get something for me? Doesn't matter.
When you collect, you say, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd.
Christianity and madness, they are together. You must be mad. You want to be a Christian, you don't want to be mad. Then you are already mad for Satan. Everybody in the, on the face of hell is a fool.
So either you are a fool for Christ or fool for the devil.
Hey, I don't want to do it. I'm a gentleman. No. You are only a gentleman to the devil.
You need faith, the seed of faith, to fight the devil, to create a safety zone for yourself. That's what the Bible said in the message. It is I. I'm sorry, I'm just rushing. Be not afraid. Paragraph 8. He said, the greatest safety zone where all the devils that are passed away by our shield of faith, to know that we are standing in that safety zone, anchored in Christ, safe as we can be,
is when we have that faith. We must operate by faith. If you don't have faith, you can't please God. You can never please God. And if you don't please God, you are pleasing Satan.
We need the living faith, the faith of the Son of God, to maintain Christian victory.
We need faith.
Once you lose out from faith, you cannot see God's reality in your life.
In the message, faith, by faith Moses, he said it. You won't see spiritual reality. You will go into intellectual realm.
You can't see the reality of God. So if you want to maintain Christian testimony, Christian victory, then you need to operate by what? Faith.
Let me just mention them with close. Let me leave the other one. Let me leave this one because of time.
The fifth one is element of salvation. Element of salvation means knowledge of knowing what God said about issues
for deliverance. You got to know what God said about issues. The reason why we are not doing deliverance like people of the world is because
we have element of salvation.
Our brain is not open to nonsense. It's open to the correct teaching of the world.
That's what we need.
We need right knowledge of God's word, not allow our reasonings or something or someone else's reasoning to push us out.
We need the correct knowledge of the word of God. And that's why we study. Knowledge is a gift. But we need it.
There are gifts you pray for. There are gifts you don't pray for to have.
Nine spiritual gifts, the Bible says, covet.
Earnest, covet it. Ask for it. You need it. God is looking for who to give. But the nine spiritual gifts, the five spiritual gifts, which are the ministerial body, you don't go and sit down and pray and say, God, make me a teacher. God, make me a pastor. God, make me an evangelist.
No, it's in you before the foundation of the world.
It comes to a point that you recognize it, but it's a predestinated gift.
But the nine spiritual gifts, you can covet it.
You can pray for them. You can ask for them.
Whether systematically or directly, we are praying for it. There's nobody that will not pray, God, give me wisdom.
I need wisdom.
I need knowledge of your word.
The knowledge you have needs the assistance of wisdom to be able to operate right.
There is no single gift that operates alone. All the gifts, they need other ones. If you have gift of healing, you need faith. If you have gift of wisdom, there must be knowledge to display it.
There is no child of God filled with the Holy Ghost that will not have at least one.
When they read the quote, there's any child that doesn't, they will give account. We begin to shiver. It's good that we should shiver, but that is not true that we don't have. How will your ministers come here and teach you when they don't have knowledge? Is it possible? A novice can teach you. You got to know what he's talking about. If not, the thing will just jam. You know, the word of God is an ocean. The thing will just jam. You just see this one. One channel is against another channel. I want to say, a man say it's a teacher. Giving opportunity to interpret scriptures. If the scriptures do not begin to fight each other.
No scripture fights each other. Every scripture has its place to display at the appointed time.
Hallelujah.
So we need the element of salvation, which is the knowledge of God's word.
Let me read it because of our time.
But all right. Brass can't even be tempered. Harder than iron. A brass,
he's talking about element of salvation. Element of salvation.
A brass headpiece is what? The salvation. Knowledge of knowing this. My salvation comes from God. My experience matches his word. Not the church idea, the world. Hallelujah.
Praise God. So you need this element of salvation. When you have got this salvation, you need the knowledge of the word. Don't be a novice.
That's what Ram said. In every office in the church, put the very best man. Very best.
Make a treasurer that is not spiritual. And you see the money going out. Going out. Coming. Which kind of church with this?
They will give all this money to pastor this? To this brother?
Is it not a gift of God? Freely give. Freely receive.
Put your very best in every office.
We need right knowledge. A right knowledge does not interfere with God's promises. He works with that genuine faith.
Hallelujah. Alright, we're closing.
The sword of the Spirit is the word of God.
So you need the word of God. God gave the sword to the prophet and he has dispensed what God has for us.
Till when we know that we are not matured to handle that word, he told the prophet, go and store it in the storehouse.
Isn't it?
Because the bride was not mature to handle those things. He said, he put them in the tips, they keep them in the storehouse. Today, we'll know better than when we started.
The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
You need it in you.
The word of God reveals Christ and nothing else. That's what God's word reveals.
The word can be spoken consciously and very consciously and purposely to design you.
If I want to know your reaction and know the kind of person you are, I can intentionally speak something to know it.
Nothing can reveal your heart than the word.
Rabban says ministers can do that purposely, intentionally.
Just drop something.
By the time you roll up your sleeves, they will know who you are.
It's only the word that reveals a man, nothing else. God's word is sharper than two natural two-edged sword and a designer of thoughts.
So you need the word to be able to.
The sword is the word. It penetrates not only to the soul, it penetrates even to your spirit and to your body. That's why you come to church, you see sometimes when the word is going so hot, you see reactions.
Because he has the power to penetrate. You think all the time that you hear what you like to hear.
No, sir.
Because the preacher is just a microphone. It doesn't mean any harm. He might even be laughing, but he's paining somebody.
I say he's a pain there.
That wicked man, sorry. His name is Wicked.
I say he's a pain there. No, sorry, the sweet us.
The preacher is jumping and enjoying himself. Somebody is hungry somewhere. Why? The word of God is like a sword.
It's like a surgeon's sword. It penetrates into the soul, to the spirit, to the body, every part.
That's why somebody will close from service is weaker than when he come before coming.
It's the word.
And you can go home rejoicing and light footed than before.
It's the word.
It depends on the condition in which the word meets you.
Pray always.
Number seven.
With all prayers and supplication, we close with this. Prayer is stronger than atomic bomb.
Prayer, many of us don't pray again.
We feel there's no need. Prayer, you stop praying, you stop growing. Prayer is a fertilizer that gives you revelation. Prayer is the power that supports your existence.
Don't just pray because you want to fulfill all righteousness. Prayer is an atmosphere that you have to create. And like I said on Friday, even if you are weak, pray.
If you are weak, you pray, God, strengthen me.
If you are weak and you stop praying, then you are a goner.
God will pray.
Do you know why we don't pray long? Because our prayers are selfish. You only pray for yourself, pray for your family, prayer request finish.
When there are many brethren, many brothers, who will raise their requests, who will know their pains, you know their troubles, and your prayer is just centered around yourself and your family, no more.
Why will your prayer not be short? You want to pray,
request that full grant.
You will just get to a point, you say, let me stop here.
Can't finish. We must love one another that the problem of my brother becomes my problem. Even if I don't have means of serving it, I should go on my knees and pray.
I say, he's an hypocrite in the church. If he's an hypocrite in the church, leave me alone. At least you will have one of good characters that you can talk about.
All this by-biting spirit.
It's a spirit that will never allow you to pray. When he's coming, you close mouth. It's a spirit.
And God hates it. You can't be a Christian and have those spirits in you. Talk nice of one another. If there's nothing nice about one another, about that brother, close your mouth. Talk on the word.
Very easy. Oh, that sister. Oh, that church. Even many ministers, they are ministers of information, of wrong information.
Huh?
So this one happened. Our church is growing. Do you see what happened in Soso Church? In fact, our church is growing. You are just a non-entity in the hand of devil because you don't know who you are. Stop talking about people.
Real men don't talk about people. They talk about ideas.
About people. What are they going to do for you?
If they are bad, they are bad.
You are not their maker.
Don't be intentional about it.
I'll not talk about people. I'll talk about ideas. I'll talk about the taste of God. Take a brother to your family theater and slay him and slaughter him and finish him. And the children are hearing what you are saying. And then you come to church and say, praise God. You are just being conquered by the devil without knowing it.
When you can pray out those things, prayer can cast out those things in your life. But when you become idle, that the prophet says, and idle worshiper, and you don't pray, then you will do some other things with your mouth. Pray.
Prayer is the only thing that cannot be out of order.
Prayer is the only thing that will never be too much. We will never be able to pray too much.
Somebody wake up in the morning and say, I don't want to disturb God today. I will just give thanks. You are not disturbing him.
Rabban talk about Stonewall Jackson. He was one of America's best generals. Like Joshua of old. Who always seek the face of God, even in the battle. He said the secret of his success, he was a man of prayer.
I can't remember the name of that person. Maybe you remember his name that was living in the United States of UK.
That man, when he was living, we are told by the historians that once that man speaks, even the queen shivers. And what was the cause? Prayer. They fear that man more than the military men of the nation.
Prayer. You don't need to be many. To walk with God is you and God alone. If your wife is snoring, you go ahead and pray.
If your husband is a snoring type, operation 6 to 7 throughout the night. No time for prayer. During the day, he's busy.
You are conquered.
I'm not praying. I want to be a victorious Christian. Prayer is one of what? Our weapons of war. But Abraham said, when a wicked man goes on his or her knees, or a woman goes on his or her knees, what happened? He said the kingdom of devil is what? Shaking. Vibrating.
It's not until you pray and sweat. If God help you and you can do that, fine. But that doesn't mean your prayer is answered.
No, sir.
It's a connection. Your heart has a cable. It's connected to the cable in heaven. Then there will be communication. There will be free flow. Your network will not be busy.
Prayer.
A church that is not praying. Many of us, our only time of prayer is when we come here.
We are busy.
Every day.
Busy. Busy for Satan. I want to get 2 hands to meet. Fine, it's good if you can do it, but you cannot.
It's only God that can get the 2 hands to meet. And don't rob him of his privileges. God wants us to be prayerful. You say, I'm not a prayer warrior. There are some people that are prayer warrior. Yes, I believe with you too. But every Christian prays. Prayer warriors can pray. I read about this man. Sorry for taking your time. No, we are still going to come back in the next few hours. And I'm still going to preach. So we are all in the same shoe. But I will close now. I read about Babalola of some years ago. That knelt down. He said God told him that he would pray.
Until his sweat will be flowing away, leaves that are life, not dry leaves. So, and he prayed until the sweat from his body was flowing the leaves away.
But he had a bad wife.
Prayer should be part of our brief. Don't let anything take your place of prayer, no matter how tired. You have 24 hours. God not deprive you of 24 hours. Nobody has 25. It's only 24. If others are doing it, you can do it. You have to be determined. You have to be purposeful about it.
And say, God, I can do it. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me.
Let's bow our heads. Let's talk to God.
I'm sorry. I'm taking your time. And I'm sorry I've given it disjointedly because I don't want to visit it again tonight. Talk to God.
Say, God, help me. All these weapons are given to us. I just have to close. I just have to close this note. God will lay it in the heart of other servants. They will go into it. And they will be a blessing to you.
Grace, 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 all I need is grace, 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 all I need is grace, grace of the Lord, grace to obey, grace to abide all the day. Solve my life. Grace. voice of the Lord. Grace to obey, grace to abide all the days of my life.
Lord Jesus, I'm very sorry, Father. Oh God, I have not delivered it as you wanted me, Lord. It's my desire to do so, Lord, but I'm limited as a mortal. And I'm asking for your mercy, Lord, that all the blessings that your children need to have, somehow through somebody, will be given to them, oh God. Lord Jesus Christ, if there be any challenge in the hearts of your people, whatever it may be this hour, oh God, we have had your word. And we know we are more than conquerors. Lord, by the authority of your word, I pray for your children at this moment. May their heart's desire be met in the name of Jesus Christ.
Lord, if somebody is here this morning, this hour, that have gone away, left even family altars, they don't pray again, no time, we are busy.
Oh God, is the enemy that have done that? Lord, having realized once again, being remembered as mortals, we are bound to forget. But Lord, remember us, Lord, and thou hast done it this moment.
Oh God, I don't know anybody. I'm not talking about a particular person, but thou knowest who needs this word. And I pray with all my heart, oh God, that their desires be met, Lord.
If it is healing, you have paid the price. Receive your healing in the name of Jesus Christ. If it's the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it is a promise that is given to all that believe. Receive the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. If it's a sickness in your business life, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, receive deliverance in the name of Jesus Christ. Give direction to your people. Give strength to your people. Give grace to your people. Oh God, let this word not pass over our heads, Lord. Grant it, dear Father. I receive more grace to serve you. I receive more strength to serve you, Lord. Dismiss us with your blessings. In Jesus Christ's holy name, we ask and pray. Amen. God bless you. I'm so sorry. Truly sorry. I'm sincerely sorry. I'm supposed to close by 12. But I'm just so sorry.
I don't know. And I won't be able to promise you that in the night, in the evening, I will not do the same.
But I don't want to do it. But please, if I do it, forgive me.
You know, it's been long. I'm packed full of many things. Just forgive me. God bless you.
Let's sing the grace, grace. God bless you, Pastor.
Grace, grace, grace. All I need.
God bless you.
Praise of the Lord, praise you, praise you above all the days of my life. Praise of the Lord, hallelujah, praise you, praise you above all the days.
God bless you richly. By 2 o'clock, we ought to be back again for the last service of the day. Maybe if there is time, after that service, I may just pass one comment. If there is no time, till we meet again. God bless you richly. May His coming gladden our hearts. Grace, 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 all I need.
follow. I need your grace to follow.